Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
Club 1080 on The Fan is brought to you by Better You Today Weight Loss. Here's to a better you. Embark on your weight loss journey now at betteryoutoday.com. Hit get started today, and here's to a better you.
How and why are you drunk at 6 o'clock?
Well, the how's pretty self-explanatory, and the why is because I thought we were leaving at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Ergo, Latin, plenty of time to sleep it off.
They're able to handle quite a bit of load. At that point, squeeze as hard as you want.
It's entering through a hole in your face.
Meow. Dude, you pull that thing out. I need to see it. Got an octopus? An octopus on the loose. And I was like, yeah, that's, you know, I try to tell you it's a little weird down there, and can we be a little more careful? Rojo wants the banana. Quick, shove it into my mouth. Where's my wood, John? Where's my wood?
Blip, blip. All right. We've made it to Thursday Club. Big Souk is out. He'll be back Monday. No show tomorrow, guys, so let's roll.
We've made it to Friday Club, basically.
Yeah. We've got an audio dump coming for you guys. You're going to hear from Mr. McCloskey. See what he's saying. He's the St. Louis guy with the AR-15 in front of his super fancy house.
Yeah. Basically a castle.
But first, you know, have you watched the Jeffrey Epstein doc on Netflix?
I have not. No.
Okay. Well, I'm trying to decide if I recommend it. Look, it's...
Are you ready to feel disgusted?
Right, right.
Watch the documentary.
It's horrible to watch, but it's also fascinating on a lot of different levels. I would say you could probably skip it, but if you really want to know how he went about, well, his business of...
Grooming
and sexually assaulting young girls... It certainly lays out a lot of stuff that a lot of people don't know about Jeffrey Epstein. And, of course, Jeffrey Epstein was the guy who was the multi-billionaire who was on his own island raping, sexually assaulting young girls. And he's the one who nobody thinks actually killed himself in prison when they put him away, because there are so many big famous names attached to him that knew him, that were friends with him, that traveled with him. That many
went
believe,
to his island.
Yeah, did the same thing that he did with girls. Bill Clinton, Donald Trump, Tom Hanks, which pains me, but his name has been linked.
One of the royals in England, right?
Prince Andrew.
Is it Andrew? Yeah.
So the big news today is that his babe, Ghislaine Maxwell, who he dated way back in like the 90s, and she's like this British socialite. She's the one that introduced Prince Andrew to him. The feds got her today. She was hiding in New Hampshire. Nobody had seen her since Epstein killed himself, and they found her. She was in the States, and she was up and around, still living this lavish lifestyle up in the northeastern part of the United States. And I guess the FBI had been surveilling her for a long time, and they've just been slowly building their case against her. And they finally got enough to nab her, and she is behind bars. And this is enormous for a couple of reasons. One, if you have not seen the Epstein documentary, in that you will find out that she was just as bad as he was.
Wasn't she the one who, like, got the girls?
She would befriend the young. What he did was, at least early on, because I actually quit the doc before it got, it just is so, like, hard to hear a lot of that stuff and watch it, and I got the gist of it and I kind of shut it off, so I didn't watch the whole thing. But early on in it, when he had a house in Palm Beach, he also had a place in New York and other places, but early on in the 90s in Palm Beach, they were together. And what he would do is he would find from across the West Palm Beach, I think, is the poorer part of the town. And he would find young high school girls who needed money, who are kind of, you know, didn't have parents that were too involved. And he would somehow find a way to get them over to give him, quote, massages at his big mansion on the other side of the tracks. And then I don't remember how he found the first one, but he got the first one in. And then things would happen, and you can, you know.
You know what happened.
Right. And so then those girls would go back to the high schools and tell other girls, hey, you're looking to make a little money. You know, all you got to do is this. And that's basically how he did it. And they were underage girls. Now, this Maxwell broad here, she would befriend these girls. And be like, oh, and she would take them shopping and become friends with them and lead them into this massage room where Epstein's creepo ass was hanging out naked waiting for him. Later, it was discovered that this woman actually did it too to some of these girls, not all, which I think is fascinating because you never hear really of female pedophiles.
Right.
You know?
Right.
You don't really hear about that. She was one. So she would befriend them and reel them in, and she too sexually assaulted some of them. So the second thing that's interesting about that, so she's awful, and she's been on the lam, and they've been watching her, trying to build a case against her, and they got her. So she's nabbed. Now here's the really interesting thing. Will she spill the beans? Because now she has every reason to cooperate with the feds, or she's going away for a long time, or will she suddenly die?
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and go with the latter on that one, Bob.
Like Epstein.
My first thought when I saw this, everyone was like, oh, it's such a big deal. And I was like, until she goes into prison and is found dead one day.
Right. See, you're kind of like me in that I look at this and go, oh, my God, this could be so explosive, because she could cut a deal with the feds. She could get immunity, and she could name every one of these MFers that you all know. Presidents, so you know, actors, you know, who knows?
Bigwigs, yeah.
Yeah, and these are all names she could name them all. But will she?
Is the deal with the feds safe enough against the power people she would name?
Exactly. We're gonna find out. Yeah, and the because answer to that is probably no.
Yeah, probably no.
She's in danger. First of all,
yes,
she's in grave danger, because that's why everybody thinks Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. Right? Is they right. Think that all these powerful people killed him before he could squawk. Because he was already in prison.
Yes.
So what will happen with this?
Because then they say, like, they didn't have the cameras on his cell or something. And
oh, yeah. It was totally
some BS.
Totally weird.
Yeah.
Very shady. So will this all just go away? And if it does, what does that mean? Does that mean more powerful people behind her and Epstein said, sorry, you got nabbed, you're going to start talking, you're dead?
I have to believe it's that one. Based on what we saw with Epstein, and based on the fact that nobody believes he killed himself. Literally nobody, right? We always kind of like see in movies and shows and stuff like that, or it's built up in books like that, the real power, like the Illuminati kind of thing, right? Like, oh, we have a government, and we have federal agents, and we have police and all these people. But who really wields the power but that other separate secret group? I mean, this to me is...
Watch Billions.
The closest example we have of that being played out in front of us.
Have you watched Billions yet?
I have not, no.
This is basically what it's all about.
It's fascinating, man.
It's just, you know, the rich and the powerful handshake deals. You do me a favor here, I'll do you a favor there, and how things go away. And things go away all the time with these rich bastards.
Yeah.
So we'll, you know, she's either dead within weeks or she squeals, and it's going to be a bomb.
I mean, I'd rather her squeal because it'd be fascinating to learn. Even if it's people you like, I mean, you don't want those people to be pedophiles out there, like, successfully living their life, right?
Look at this. Here's a... You want another conspiracy theory?
Okay.
She'll get a pass out of prison and go join Epstein. He's on an island in exile somewhere in the tropics.
Oh, so he's not actually dead?
He's dead? Pretty sure? But, you know, with something like this, you never know.
I guess that's true. Where's the body?
Well, they showed his... They did show pictures of his... autopsy photos that I think those were out there.
Okay. Were they actually him though?
Yeah, but you can doctor anything these days.
Body double? Do you have a clone made of him? Do clones already exist and we just don't have the access because we're not billionaires in the Illuminati?
Mm. What if she rats out Trump? Does that finally take him down? Probably not.
Does anything take him down?
It appears not.
Are they actually the lizard people?
Hmm.
Is the spaghetti monster real?
So, over under when she dies?
20 days?
That's terrible, but 20 days? Really? Yeah. I say within the next 3 months, she's dead.
That's the over under I'm putting it at. Well, Epstein died really quick, didn't he? Wasn't that
within
it was like
about
weeks?
It was a month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll put it at 30 days then. Over under 30 days.
Okay. I'm going over, but I think she's going to die. This is really wild, dude.
Yeah, this is insane.
Really wild. All right. Let's do an audio dump to wrap up your Thursday. We'll start that next on The Fan.
Today, and here's to a better you.
Can I get a hot tub?
Okay. We've got leftover audio, and it's random, and it's great. So that's what we're going to do to wrap up the hour. Okay.
You sent a lot of audio this week.
I did. And we got to none of it.
Lots of texts, lots of DMs on Twitter, and I was like, oh, wow, this is going to be a really audio-filled week. Well,
slid into your DMs.
You always slide into my DMs.
We won't
I like get to keep going.
We won't get to all this, guys. But I do want to play this
one. Hear me? Don't stop sliding into my DMs, Rob. Don't stop.
We'll see. Moved on to a bigger, better piece of meat.
Oh, yeah? What's his name?
So, Mr. McCloskey, St. Louis. Remember this?
I do.
This guy.
The funniest pictures I've seen in a while.
They are funny. You know, Mike, that's funny you say that because a lot of people aren't laughing about this, but many of us are laughing. The McCloskeys are funny. They represent something that is really funny to us, and I will explain why after he speaks. But I think there are a lot of people who don't understand why the McCloskeys are funny. They're actually like, yeah, protect your property.
Okay, but...
We'll talk about it.
Okay.
But I want to play what he said first. Okay, so this is the St. Louis couple where protesters, they did not break down the gate to their private property, although it is on their private property. What has been reported is that the gate was later damaged. They were they're videoed walking through a perfectly intact gate. But
I did see a picture of a damaged gate.
Yes, but they're saying that happened later. They don't know who damaged it. Either way, they're on private property. They shouldn't be. That is indisputable. So the McCloskeys come out of their house.
That, is that now indisputable? Because when we first talked about this, there was a confusion of whether it was public or private.
Private property.
Okay.
They come out of their house. He has an AR-15, barefoot, khaki pants.
Belt, polo shirt, pink tucked in.
And she looks like Darlene.
Cruella DeVille.
From Ozark. Have you watched Ozark?
Not yet, no.
Yeah, she looks like Darlene. And she holds her gun like a margarita. And by the way,
an awesome Powers pistol.
Yeah, and they get into it with protesters, and you know. By the way, they're under investigation now. The McCloskeys are. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah. For those of you saying, "Oh, they have every right," no, you really don't. And they're under investigation. And I'll get you that before we play the audio here. Mark and Patricia McCloskey, who went viral after brandishing an AR-15-style rifle and a silver-colored handgun, respectively, were the only ones to lodge a police report over Sunday's confrontation, insisting they were victims of threatening trespassers who entered a gated community. But the husband and wife lawyers are being probed by police and prosecutors for possible threats against the crowd. St. Louis prosecutor Kimberly Gardner said, "I'm alarmed at the events that occurred over the weekend where peaceful protesters were met by guns. We must protect the right to peacefully protest, and any attempt to chill it through intimidation or threat of deadly force will not be tolerated." So, again, they don't have every right to do what they did. Now, probably nothing will come of it. Too politically charged.
Right.
But they are under investigation. Anyway, on the gun tip, if your wife holds a gun like a lemon drop, guess who's going to die?
You.
Most likely you.
Yeah. Well, he was holding the AR at her.
Right.
Because he was holding it sideways, and the barrel was facing his wife.
Stats bear it out. So if you really are that scared and you need to pull the artillery on your front porch, maybe train a bit. You know?
Well, how hard can it be?
So here are the... this is not both of the McCloskeys. This is Mr. McCloskey on the news on CNN, and he's got his trusty attorney, even though he's an attorney.
And boy, oh boy, his attorney looks like an attorney.
Boy, he sure does, doesn't he?
He's got the glasses. He looks exhausted. He's got... There's this look going on.
All right, so here's Mr. McCloskey.
We're now joined by Mark McCloskey. He is the St. Louis homeowner we told you about in that video that's all over social media. He and his wife holding guns, keeping protesters away, in their opinion, from their home on a private street. He is an attorney, and the couple also has outside counsel who joins us now, Albert Watkins. Thank you both for joining me.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Counselor and Mr. McCloskey slash counselor, we can talk about the legal rights and the facts. I want to talk about not having a right, but whether or not something is right first, which is, how do you feel about becoming the face of political resistance to the Black Lives Matter movement?
First of all, that's a completely ridiculous statement. I'm not the face of anything opposing the Black Lives Matter movement. I was a person scared for my life who was protecting my wife, my home, my hearth, my livelihood. I was a victim of a mob that came through the gate. I didn't care what color they were. I didn't care what their motivation was. I was frightened. I was assaulted. And I was in imminent fear that they would run me over, kill me, burn my house. And you have to have this in the context of St. Louis, where on June the 2nd of this year, I watched the city burn. I watched the 7-Eleven get smashed in, looted, and burned for 40 minutes on live television with nobody showing up to do anything. And I realized at that time, we're on our own. When bad things happen, they unpredictably turn really bad, real fast. That same night, retired St. Louis police captain David Doran was murdered. These things get very bad very quickly. And when those people came through the gate, when it was a mob, I didn't take the time to see their birth certificates or anything else. I was defending my house, my life, my wife, and what I've spent 32 years building there.
I understand what you say your rationale was. To be clear, did anything happen to you or your property?
Did anything happen to... Yeah, my life has been ruined.
We'll get to that, Mr. McCloskey. I don't mean to cut you off. But I'm saying that night, did anything happen to you, your family, or your property?
Yeah, it's called social intimidation. It's called terrorism. Chris, what's the definition of terrorism? To use violence and intimidation to frighten the public. That's what was happening that night. It's what happened to me. And that's the damage I suffered.
Okay. There you go.
That's Mr. McCloskey. Last hour when I said, hey, do you guys think Mr. McCloskey sounds good or bad in the upcoming clip?
Yeah. What do you think?
Bad.
Bad, huh?
Yeah.
Hmm. It did sound a bit white blessingsy. You know?
Yes, it did. Yeah.
It is interesting that white privilege gets to roll out of his front door with an AR-15 and then appear on CNN with his lawyer to explain how scared he was when a guy like Tamir Rice has a toy gun and gets shot dead.
Yep.
So you kind of understand how do you think black people feel when they encounter police? Candy ass.
That, I didn't know what to expect when you sent me that clip. That was mind-blowing to me.
Yeah. Well, that he sounds like such a lawyer.
Yeah, well, the first thing he comes out with is that he was assaulted. No, so you were standing there with a gun.
And he thought they were going to kill him and burn his house.
Yeah, kill you and burn. They were walking by.
Yeah, this is why. Okay, I just wanted to explain real quick before we get to more audio. I want to explain why that's funny. Because I know there's a lot of people that think the way he does. You know, there's a lot of people that are like, yeah, stand your ground. The mob, they're going to kill you. Shoot them. Government won't save you. Police won't save you. Shoot them. Why that is just so absurd is why a lot of people are laughing at the McCloskeys. No one was coming for them.
No. They were doing a peaceful protest.
That is a deep...
To the mayor's house.
It's like a deep-seated fear that they have planted in their own heads. It's truly baseless and ridiculous and downright funny that people react that way. Now, if you sit and watch Fox News all night, you'll be told how unruly these protests are. And then, of course, you'll get scared in that situation.
And to be fair, there was rioting in the beginning, and there were things that went bad.
There's bad things that happened,
however,
for sure.
That's basically been snuffed out within the first week. Protests, by the way, still going on, even though the news isn't covering it, and generally has been very peaceful.
Dude, the protests are not scary. Even if this particular group is a part of the small faction that could get charged up, how about this? Stay inside. What are you going to do? Shoot them all?
Mark? They're not coming for your house.
Your brain has been conditioned to think everyone's coming for you and these protesters want violence and anarchy, and none of it is true. And that's why it's funny that the McCloskeys pull their artillery. It just shows how out to lunch they are. But, and do you really buy his life's been ruined?
Well, probably really? Yes, actually.
Really?
Maybe not his life being ruined, but, I mean, you know that he's gotten the flood of calls to his business and messages and stuff that has significantly altered his life. I mean, he's still got clearly way too much money that he knows what to do with. But yeah, I mean, in these situations, these people do get absolutely destroyed through social media and through all that kind of like.
Yeah, but who cares? Social media, who cares? What does that even mean?
Well,
people
know,
are destroying
saying,
you, whatever.
To him, he probably is like, oh my God, my life has been ruined. So I will give him that. He certainly has the right to feel that way.
Well, he's well known now.
Yeah, he's well known. The other funny part is that he's freaking out there barefoot holding an AR-15 threatening people walking by his home.
I mean, well, that's why he's under investigation. But this ain't the Purge, dude. Calm down, Mr. McCloskey. The blacks are coming!
I didn't look at their birth certificates or the color of their skin.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you want air traffic control? Okay, so this next piece of audio is funny to me because you never hear of fights on air traffic control.
Right.
Right?
It's a very stressful job, and everyone wants to just kind of be able to be civil and go through and just, like, do the things that are needed, right?
Have you ever even heard of a pilot and an air traffic control person arguing?
No.
I've never even thought that happened.
No, me neither.
This is in Las Vegas. And it happened recently. It's about 2 minutes. And I believe this is self-explanatory, is it not, Mike? You'll hear it.
Yeah. Just understand that she's talking to multiple flights.
Yeah.
She references them by their number and name.
Right.
And they're landing at McCarran International Airport, or at least flying through the airspace near McCarran International Airport.
Southwest Strip 3, contact LA Center 124.2. Have a great day.
34.2 Southwest 333, good day.
Southwest 285, McCarran Airport is 11 o'clock and 21 miles.
Inside Southwest 285.
Southwest 285, cleared for the visual approach, runway 26 left.
Cleared to visual, 26 left, Southwest 285.
And one of them a Romeo, I need you outside of the Bravo.
Negative.
A negative what?
I'm inside.
You were not given a clearance through the Bravo. One of them, a Romeo, exit the Bravo immediately.
I've been talking to you the whole time. That's the whole point of talking to you.
You have to have a Bravo clearance. You have to request a Bravo clearance.
The Bravo clearance about 50 miles ago.
Nobody clears you through the Bravo but me.
Then clear me through.
No.
Yes.
You're an ass.
He's being an ass. That is not appropriate language.
Southwest 779, traffic 12 o'clock, 4 miles. Is a Cessna Centurion descending out of 4,700 inside the Bravo without a clearance.
Okay, we're looking Southwest 779.
I've asked for a clearance multiple times.
And November Romeo, I told you to remain outside the Bravo. 1 November Romeo, possible pilot deviation advised you contact Las Vegas approach at, I'll give you the number when you're ready to copy.
Not ready to copy. I'm flying.
Southwest 779, contact tower 199. You have a great day.
99, you too. Thanks. 779.
And 1 November Romeo, Henderson Tower.
Henderson Tower, 1 November Romeo.
November 1 November Romeo rudder. In contact ground 127.8. And again, I don't know what happened, but from what you say, sorry for the service.
Thank you. Calling ground.
And that's it. How about that?
I'm not ready. I'm flying.
Well, give me clearance. No. Yes! Now, that can't be real. Is that real?
Well, it has to be real.
I don't think it has to be.
But in the video, it actually has the topographical, I don't know what the right word would be, like the look of the radar, and you see the planes on it. And he is very close to those two Southwest flights that she's trying to get him away from.
How great is that?
He's like, I've been talking to you the whole time. Well,
Come on.
The clip, you have not at all, actually. She's been talking to other flights.
Give me clearance. Yes. No. I'm flying. I can't write that down.
Yeah, I'm not ready. I'm flying.
Had good times. I just didn't know that happened.
I like how he wound up bashing her to whoever was on the ground there.
Right.
He's like, sorry for the service.
Right.
But really, he's probably the one who was in the wrong.
Oh, hell yeah.
It sounds like he was in like a personal flyer.
Yeah, he just didn't. Oh, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, because she was describing the type of plane that it was, and she was talking to the Southwest plane. It sounds like it was someone's
that makes
personal
sense.
Plane.
He was just trying to do his own thing.
Yeah.
Get landed.
I guess so. Or
in
fly
the Bravo?
Through the Air Force. I don't,
Air Man, Sports. That's hilarious. Any air traffic control bros out there, does that happen often? 503-250-1080. Okay, more audio is coming up next. But first, Mike with SportsCenter.
To a better you.
Can I get a hot tub?
Okay, getting some feedback on the air traffic control argument. A lot of people are texting in saying, hey, get on YouTube and just throw that in the search. And there are a lot of them.
Oh, okay.
But we also have a guy who says that air traffic control recording is real. It's all over the aviation community on the internet. And no, that's not common at all. Air traffic control is there to keep us safe and everyone listens to them. Otherwise, your pilot's license might be in jeopardy. That's what people were saying. They're like, he's probably just a private pilot.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, like if he worked for Southwest Airlines, that dude's getting canned.
Right. Well, yeah. So like, what happens to him in the wake of that?
I don't know.
Well, I'm sure there was probably like some sort of report filed in some way, shape, or form.
Right.
And, you know, his word against hers. And I mean, she has the audio, right?
Oh, I'm sure they record all of it.
I've been talking to you the whole time. Really. My curiosity with this is, what if he wasn't being an a-hole and actually was talking to somebody but was on, like, the wrong channel? So when he got in touch with air traffic control, she's like, I haven't been talking to you at all. And he's like, I was cleared to go here. Like, what if he, like, was on the wrong channel and someone was messing with him? Like, oh, yeah, you got clearance to go to Bravo, sure.
Boy, if that happened, you'd think there'd be a lot more accidents.
True, I suppose.
Kind of an important thing to...
That was just the thought
Whoops,
I had
wrong
of,
channel.
Like, he said, I've been talking to you the whole time. Well, if that's the case, then who have you been talking to? Because clearly it wasn't her.
I feel like he was just full of crap.
Also, who was the one who jumped in and said you're an a-hole to him? That was just a random auxiliary voice was like,
That's just some pilot flying another plane.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, come on, jerk. I love it.
I love how calm the Southwest pilots were because, you know, they just do it all the time. She's like, Southwest 339, you have potential action needed for a plane coming to you. Yeah, we're watching. Yeah, don't worry about it.
Right.
We got it.
We'll avoid his dumb ass.
I know what I'm doing here.
All right. Let's see what else we have. We only have time for one more. Let's do this. Okay. So Cam Newton signs with the Patriots. And what do you think the white Boston sports radio guys are saying about Cam Newton?
How about culture? Like, even something as simple and seemingly innocuous as the dapping, the Supermanning, all the celebrating and showboating on the field. They don't want you doing that here. So Cam Newton has celebrated more than any player in the league maybe over the last decade. Something as simple and innocuous as that. Think he'll be able to contain it?
I think Bill's going to give him a little latitude on that one. That's what I think.
I hope he doesn't. I like that about the Patriots. I like that. I like that they don't ride each other like ponies after games or after touchdowns or whatever. I like that they don't waste our time.
Yeah, I don't know. This guy's a different kind of cat, though.
No dice. No dice on the Superman.
I bet you they allow it, or I bet you. Put it this way.
That would piss me off.
I shouldn't say allow it, because I'm not. I don't think Bill will, quote unquote, sign off on it.
So wait a minute.
He'll do it, though.
They won't let Dorsett ride Gronkowski like a pony. Rob Gronkowski. Hall of Famer, hugely important to multiple championships. He can't screw around, but Cam Newton can?
He's the quarterback.
Oh, feh.
He's the quarterback.
Ah, please.
Gronk's a tight end.
Don't tell me that.
Shut up and block.
I don't want that.
Shut up and block.
Shut up and take the next snap.
This guy, you're going to see it. Do you think this guy can contain himself? Do you really think that?
I'd like to think so.
On the field, like just celebrating?
I'd like to think so.
In terms of what he wears, and again, if he is he dabbing in the end zone or giving the Superman thing? I don't know, but...
No Superman. I don't want to see Superman. But Bill doesn't want to see Superman. He doesn't want you taunting the opponent like that.
Okay, but let's say that Newton does it. Whose fault is it then?
Newton.
Bill's.
Newton.
Bill.
Don't Superman. We don't do that here.
Bill, like all of a sudden the guy's going to change at this stage of his career. He's been in the league 10 years.
That's what they ask.
He does a Superman thing every time.
That's what they ask of you.
So I just think the Patriots are being naive on that one. This guy is who he is. He is who he is. They should have learned that lesson with Ocho Cinco, by the way.
It won't be a lot. That had nothing to do with Ocho Cinco sucking here. He couldn't figure out the offense.
I'm just telling you, he was also extremely unhappy here. And I think the two can sort of, one can lead to the other.
Here's a prediction for you on Newton. No Supermaning, and you won't see it. You won't see it?
I bet you do.
Okay. I hope not.
He'll Superman it.
I hope not.
He'll burst open that shirt and try to show you the S. He'll try to show you.
Oh, my God.
By the way, that was from back after this. He has found some new targets since Frances is no longer regularly doing radio.
Oh, Frances is not on anymore?
Well, I think he's just doing his, like, app thing. I'm not sure he's actually on the air.
Oh.
But
That's Felger and Maz, a Boston sports radio show. And I can definitively tell
Cam,
you
Cam, Bill,
that if I lived in Boston,
oh my God,
I would listen to music.
Yeah, if you gave me two guesses on what they'd be talking about,
totally.
Celebrations would certainly be up there quickly.
Peak white Boston sports talk radio right
there. Yeah.
And I guess they responded today because everybody's been getting after them about that being racial.
It's really just the one guy. The other guy was kind of like, yeah, it's not going to change him.
Right. But those are the conversations they have.
What did they say in their response?
I don't know. I didn't see it. I can't. This doesn't have audio on the computer.
I see. I thought you saw like a written response.
No. He went on a show. Bill Newton. Yes. No.
Angry yelling. Fat.
Fat and Maz. Yeah. Maz.
No, Fat was what he said.
Oh.
He's like, you're telling me he's going to Superman Fat? I feel like that is a word that is underused. Fat. How is that considered, like, good sports radio?
I don't know that it is. I think it's just all they know out there.
Look at the talkers list, man.
Yeah, but that, again.
What?
Those people don't know what they're talking about. We're way worse than number 89. Right?
That is true. Yeah.
Like, the fact that we're even on the list, they don't know what they're
talking
about.
Have you listened before?
I mean, what are you, an idiot? All right, guys.
You want sports talk, and we give you fart drops.
That's right. Well, I think that's all we have time for in the audio department.
We may or may not be having John, so you might have a segment. Because he says he's driving there now, so okay. Service may be spotty.
If we have time, I want to play the Sacha Baron Cohen stuff.
Yeah.
Because he's up to his old tricks. But we'll see.
Maybe so John.
Next. John may wrap it up next. 6:45 on the Fan.
This is Mailing It In with Big John Sakanik on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, it appears there's somebody on the phone here. I don't know who it is. Let's see who it is. We got a wild card. Hello, can you read me?
You don't know who it is.
Well, we didn't think we'd get a hold of you.
Look, we've been doing this for a decade. It's either me or Jamie Burke. That's your two choices.
Well, it's definitely not going to be Jamie Burke or Troy.
No, it is not. Although that's how it all started. I owe Jamie Burke. And your disdain for Jamie Burke, my little role that I've carved out on your fine program.
Yeah, that story goes that we would always ask the Mariners to interview people, like good people that people would want to hear from, and they would always be like, well, Jamie Burke's from your area. Would you like him? And we'd be like, no.
Right. Didn't he go to Oregon State?
I don't know that he went to Oregon State. I you know, honestly, I don't even know.
I'm not sure either. I thought he was. I thought maybe he was from Oregon State, but that was back in the day when you and my brother had to pick the Mariner momentum builder, right?
That's right. Yes.
And you got so upset at the whole Mariner thing that you just started picking Jamie Burke every night.
Right.
And as the one person that cared, me, I think I ran into you out at the Little League field. We were in JR and Meatball. We're battling on the. Mm-hmm. on the fields of Little League in the Vancouver, and I yelled at you and told you to quit picking Jamie Burke. And I think you yelled back at me something like, well, then you come on and do it every day,
idiot,
or something like that. And I said, fine, I will. And then 10 years later, we're still doing it.
Yeah, that's exactly how that was born.
Yeah.
You left out the part where I kicked your ass.
Well, I don't want to. Right. That's a little embarrassing for me. I mean, you know.
Yeah, no one gets their ass kicked by me.
Well, pre knee injury, a lot of people got defeated by Isaac Rout, but after the knee injury, you slowed down a little bit, and you still beat me up pretty good. So I'd rather not talk about that.
I will say your commitment to doing this segment every night is truly one of a kind. There can't be anybody else in sports talk radio all over the country that has one guest that just volunteers to come on to close out their show and is there every night, literally every night. It can't be.
Well, I feel like it's a part of the show, and I'm honored to have it, and it's fun. And in reality, we've been doing this for like 11 years. Yeah. I can count on one hand the times that it's inconvenienced me. So it really just is. It really is just whatever we're doing, and we'll just stop and chat for a little bit.
We're getting reports from our roving reporters on the street that Jamie Burke did indeed attend Oregon State. So,
really? Yeah. I thought so. I thought that's why the Mariners kept offering it to you guys, but I wasn't sure. Yeah.
So what are you doing? You're out in Pacific City?
I'm headed that way right now, family vacation. You know Big Soup has gone down there already, and so we are joining him this evening. And my dad and some stepbrothers and sisters are joining us for the weekend, and so we got a whole, there's a whole clan down in Pacific City this weekend. So I'm on my way there now.
Okay.
And looking forward to a little coast time.
Now, what does a Sukanic Pacific City family vacation look like?
it's probably exactly what you think it is.
Jason getting drunk.
Yep. Check.
You guys sitting around talking about Jason being drunk.
Check.
Somebody confronting Jason about being drunk, and there's a fight.
usually you're right about everything so far. Now throw in some beach sports. We like to play a little football on the beach or a little wiffle ball on the beach if
That's
the conditions are appropriate.
Okay.
And then the other factor you're missing is the old man will be there.
Uh-huh.
And any time my brother and I and the kids and everything, we're all there, chances are high that we're going to gang up on the old man somehow and he'll lose it. So he'll probably get mad at some point for something.
What do you gang up on him about? He's a sweet old man.
Well, the last time is we ganged up on him in Risk. We had a big family Risk game. And, you know, alliances were made, and he was left out of most of them, and he didn't take too kindly to that. as he slowly lost his grip on Eastern Europe, he got a little angry and stormed out, and we all laughed. And you know, with my brother and I, if you react like that, it just fuels the fire.
Right. Jason will be relentless. I hope he's as relentless on his dad as he is on other figures that he picks on here.
Depends on how drunk he gets.
Right.
Yeah.
I love it. You have painted a great picture. Because
right?
And that's true. He stormed out like he was really mad about a game of Risk, huh?
Oh, yeah. He was because everybody had an alliance, and he wasn't in one. And so it's one of those where, like, he has, like, six men on one piece, and all around him are weaker properties that somebody could attack, yet we all gang up and attack him anyway. Like, strategically, it made no sense to go after him. We just went after him. And he was the first one eliminated, and he was none too happy about it.
I love it.
Yeah.
All right.
So, and then, you know, the beach, well, the beach fire and some s'mores. 4th of July, so I don't know, last time we were down there on the 4th of July, you weren't supposed to have fireworks, but there were a lot of people down on the beach that did, so as my brother likes to say, we'll celebrate America by blowing up a small piece of it.
It sounds delightful. It really does.
Can you beat the coast? I mean, the coast is great.
I love the Oregon coast. It still blows me, as a guy who is not from Oregon originally and only visited it once I was an adult, it still to this day blows me away that there is nothing out on the Oregon coast.
Right?
It's unbelievable how beautiful it is, and there's just nothing out there. I mean, you know what I mean.
Yeah. And it's great, and it's one of the best parts of living here is, I mean, it's 2 hours away, you know, and it's fantastic. You can pretty much go up and down the Oregon coast or the Washington coast. There's a million cool little places to stay, and we've sort of picked Pacific City as our go-to place, and we love going down there every summer, so looking forward to it.
All right, tell everybody hi. Gang up on
you
your
guys
dad.
Too. All right, I will. You guys have a good 4th of July, and I love you guys both.
Love you, too. Have a great one. There he goes. What a great guy, that guy. And maybe an intervention with Jason while you're down there, huh?
I think they've tried that before, probably.
Are you surprised at how, you being from New Jersey, I'm from Kansas. I've lived here for like 20 years, but it's still, one of the things about Oregon that blew me away was how rural it is once you get out of, because I just didn't know, I'd never been up here. And once you get out of Portland, like, it's just...
I don't know if it blows me away anymore, but that was a big shock to me originally, yeah.
And on the coast, like, you're used to the New Jersey, like...
God, it's just loaded out there, yeah.
Yeah, and Oregon, it's like, it's so gorgeous. It's like a...
Not a lot of people.
Yeah. A couple of restaurants, a couple of hotels, maybe a golf course.
And then,
one
like,
casino.
30, 40 minutes between to the next town.
Yeah, it's crazy. I love it, though. That's the way I know that's the way you want it. I love it. All right, that's it for us. We have no show tomorrow because of the holiday. Recruiting with Andrew Nemec is coming up next. We are back Monday, fully staffed, 3 to 7 on The Fan. Have a great weekend. Good night.
Red chips of Spain. Red chips of Spain.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.